Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hey everyone, before we start the show, just want to say that tickets for our 10-year anniversary Hunky Dory tour are on sale now. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com to get yours. We're going to 21 different cities and we're kicking it off in New York City with the first ever Golden Crappies that we're going to have in New York. It's also our 10-year anniversary show. The whole entire tour is going to be super fun. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com. And now, the show. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me, as always, is my work husband, Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hey, Ronnie, what's going on?
Hi, how are you?
I am so excited because our work husbandship is being joined. We have a third today. We have a third in our trio. It is actress, singer, dancer, star, Tony Award winning, CBS starring on, and American Crime Story being on. It's Anna Lee Ashford. How are you?
Hi. I'm so happy to be here and hang out with you guys and talk about magical things on Bravo.
Oh my God. It's such an honor to have you on our show.
What? I'm honored to be here. Hello. I can't wait.
Stop it. We've never had anyone on here who's actually won a Tony Award, so this is especially exciting.
Yeah, I haven't gotten one yet.
Okay. Ronnie is,
I've won a future Tony Award.
Yeah,
oh, I love a future Tony Award. Nothing better. Yeah.
For my role as Patti LuPone in Patty.
Oh, I would I would pay a lot of money to see that. That sounds like
you will one day. Oh, yeah. You will.
Yeah, the costumes I hear are fantastic. But Anna Lee, why don't you tell everyone first of all what you're on these days, where people can find you on the old television.
All right, you can find me on the old television on Tuesday nights on FX on American Crime Story : Impeachment. Ooh. That's the season's series, and I'm playing Paula Jones. So I wear a variety of wigs and a prosthetic nose, and it's one of my dream roles. So that's happening, and then on Thursday nights, you can catch me on television on CBS at 9:30. And I'm playing a girl named Gina in a show called Be Positive. It's about this guy who needs a kidney and a girl gives it to him. And then this season, my character who gave her kidney away, she realizes that she wants to keep on giving.
Oh.
She doesn't have herpes. She just has this season she inherits a bunch of money and she buys the assisted living facility she works at. And so now it's a show with a bunch of legends who are of a certain age. Yeah, Ben Vereen and Hector Elizondo and Linda Lavin came back and Priscilla Lopez and Jim Beaver and Anna Maria Horsford. It's quite a collection.
That's Anna Maria Horsford. Ben Vereen is actually also in Patty in the future.
I have to talk about it with him tomorrow. I had no idea.
I'm totally working with him soon.
Oh my God, I can't. It just makes that show even more fabulous. You guys.
What an exciting collab. But today we are here. First of all, that stuff is very, very cool that you're doing all that. And especially also the Paula Jones thing is a dream role. But today, though, we have to talk Bravo. This is the rule. We're talking Bravo right now. So you're a big Bravo fan, right?
Oh, yeah. And I love that we're talking Bravo today. I was on Andy's radio show last week with Sarah and Beanie. The three of us did a show together. And then I'm hoping I'm on Watch What Happens soon. So I just want to tell you, I love talking about all things Bravo anytime.
Yes.
Did he say, Anna Lee, tell me about your boobs. Have you gotten new boobs lately?
I'm always trying to talk about my boobs with anybody who will listen. I'm like, can you find them? I can't find them.
You know what's funny? Because you said Sarah and Beanie. I'm assuming that's Sarah Paulson, right? And
yes.
A lot of people have been saying how Angie, who made her sort of
big debut on Salt Lake City a few weeks ago. A lot of people are saying that she's like the Salt Lake City version of Sarah Paulson.
I said it immediately. I almost texted her. Are you watching Salt Lake? And is this girl somehow your cousin? Do you have a Mormon cousin you don't know about?
Do you think Sarah Paulson, how do you think Sarah Paulson would take it? Do you think she'd be like down? I feel like she'd be psyched that she'd have sort of like a Salt Lake City doppelganger, right?
I totally think she would. I also think like, she's so damn funny. I feel like she would, I feel like they should be on Watch What Happens together and wear the same outfit and we can see how much they really look alike.
Yeah. Angie could be like a bartender, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, what's happening? Is she like is she a guest star?
We're trying to get to the bottom of that. Ronnie, you seem to know a little bit more about Angie.
Well, I just know what I read on the old internet. You know, that's all you can really find out news about that. But people are saying that she was originally a Real Housewife and that big party they did at her house was the first party that they filmed for the season. But they ended up firing her because of her views on like QAnon.
No.
Conspiracy. Allegedly. And stuff like that.
According to the internet.
Oh,
according to the internet. Yeah, I have no idea if any of that's true, but none of that's on her Instagram, so I don't really know. But there must have been some reason because she was great, especially if that was the initial party. I mean, you would think that she'd take over the season and you don't see her again.
Yeah, she's so good. And also, you know, we all love a good husband. And her husband makes such an awkward cameo in that episode that I was like, this is going to go somewhere great.
Yeah, he was sort of like perched on the side of that sofa during that whole fight. Kind of.
And he tries to get in it a little bit. He does like
I'm defend my
gay?
Wife.
Like he has that kind of vibe, right? Like of people that, like when you're kids and you're like, wow, is your dad gay? Not that there's anything wrong with that, bro.
That's literally what I was thinking. I was thinking like, it feels like, is he her gay best friend or her husband? I can't tell what's happening. Yeah, I don't
know. Or just like a real soft-spoken guy. Who knows? He's got like a little effeminate quality to him.
A gentleman.
But he's like right there at her side by the fight. And then he kind of tries to get in it a little like, well, yeah, we gave you good word with Angie and Marco or whatever the hell, or Aubrey and Marco or whatever. So I thought he held promise too. So
yeah, you know, the energy that he gave me was I am going to sit on this sofa because this is an exciting scene. And then he realized he was presenting his wrong angle, but then he like knew he only had one shot to get that angle right. And he messed it up by sitting the way he sat. And then I felt like I saw like self-conscious, I'm giving the wrong angle on TV vibes from him.
And then he was blocking Whitney's shot.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
That was another part. He was like, I'm blocking her shot. I can feel the camera behind me. Should I move my head?
Cheat out. Yeah, Whitney had to sort of go around Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I like that Salt Lake City still has that community theater vibe about it. Like they're always trying to figure it out, you know?
That's so true. There's like there's an occasional uncomfortable awareness that they're being filmed, but it's still like so new and fresh that it, you know, that feeling of a new first, like a first season where you're like, it's going to work or it's not. And Salt Lake for me, it just worked like through the roof. You're like, yes, I'm in it. But there, I do love there's some awkward qualities. And then there's those magical raw moments that only can happen in a first season, you know?
Yeah,
I feel like happened with them.
Which were your favorite?
I was going to say everything with Mary. Anything that happened with Mary. Yes,
everything
season,
with Mary.
Yeah.
Mary.
You're
like, it just continues.
There's something about Mary.
There is something. When she farted a couple weeks ago,
yes.
I was like, I feel like my grandma came down from heaven to watch that scene with me so we could laugh joyously. My grandma loved a good fart. But it was amazing. Who just like farts? First of all, it's a really like it's a real, you either really, really don't give a fuck or you're so vulnerable, you know, where you're just like, can fart in front of people or you have gastrointestinal issues that they haven't figured out. But I just think that was like the next level of me loving
and
Mary.
And then it came during this big moment where Brooks is finally getting his housewife's moment, you know, it was like in the housewife scene, getting advice from another housewife on how to confront another housewife. And she's like, she literally farted on your
Housewives drama scene.
It was my favorite thing that ever happened. Also, will you guys kind of let me know where, because I haven't really checked out on social media world. Where is Brooks in his, basically, he was like, I'm not talking about my sexual status. And so nobody else should be. Will you tell me what's happening there?
I feel like it's a hard read on that one. I feel like last season, there was a lot of press. There was a lot of media attention about how he's like the first openly gay son on Real Housewives. Yeah. And he didn't seem to really push back against that. So I think everyone just sort of assumed that because there were articles that he was participating in, like, in with headlines about that he was gay and out. But now it's like, oh, maybe he's not out.
I don't want to say the wrong thing. I want to be loving to him. So I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Want to support his journey.
Sure. It's like one of those kind of newfangled Law and Orders where you already know who did the killing and you just have to like see how the mystery unfolds. Like, we know it's like a mystery that we're sitting around waiting for. It's like the least interesting whodunit, you know?
Yes. You're just like, oh, okay. I didn't know we were there, but I'm going to send you love on your journey. Like, I'll just will change up my language because that's not the conversation you're having. So I will change up my language when it comes to you.
Well,
sir.
I guess a better way to say it is like, you already know someone's coming to visit and like, it's really great that they're coming to visit, but you already know. And so they get there and you're happy, but you're just like, hi. You're not like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You did it. You came up. Like, you're just like, hi.
Or you already thought they were at your house. You already thought they were in your living room. And then you realized you just set the table, but that doesn't mean that he's actually there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's a surprise party that you knew was coming.
Yeah. I mean, you know, bless his heart. You know, I'll be just as annoyed with Brooks, no matter his sexuality. I literally do not care.
Yeah.
Yes. And did he come out with more sweatsuits?
No, no more sweatsuits, but you know, last week we did see Seth, his dad, wearing that blazer. It was the last week or 2 weeks ago where he was talking about how he supports his son or something like that. And he was wearing a blazer, and the blazer had that strap that went across it from like inside one lapel and it like attached onto another lapel and said Brooks Marks. So it looks like he's going into formal wear a little bit. And by going into formal wear, I mean just like adding a little strap that says his name on it. But still, you know, God bless.
It's like an H&M jacket with something that says Brooks Marks off the back.
Great.
Yeah, it's more than I'm doing.
How about, I have to tell you, I'm surprised that I would feel this way, but I am happy that Meredith and the husband are like enjoying each other. And like, it's sort of fun to, usually we're so used to in Housewives world seeing like people get full out divorced. So to see them do an about face, how are you feeling?
I feel like this is like that sort of high that you get from a wedding vow renewal. You know, remember like when Shannon Bedore and Dave Bedore got like renewed and she was like,
Wow, we're better than ever. We've never been so happy. He bought me a milkshake and I said it was too high in calories, but you know, it's very thoughtful.
And then the next episode is divorced. And then she farted from lactose intolerance.
You're right. I don't know. I don't know why it feels a little bit different than that to me, but I hear you. I totally hear you. I don't know. Maybe I'm just.
So you're buying it here. I think that they like getting really fucked up together. That's what I think. They're that couple who like just, because every time you see them, they're like, hey, what are you thinking about? Making dumb jokes. And I think that that will keep them together for a long time.
He's like, he's like, put on your rhinestone face mask and get into bed.
Yeah, Meredith. And I mean, there's something about Seth that really skeeves me out. Like, I feel like he does like the bro banter, but he always overshoots it a little bit. Like, he always makes like a little grosser that like the quote unquote locker room talk. He'll be like, hey, how you guys all doing tonight? Did anyone else fuck their wives last night? You're like, oh, Seth. Oh, it's just a little unpleasant for me.
Just a little too masculine.
I don't know. I know you can't win with us, can you? As we go through, it's like, hey, that guy's so feminine. That guy's so masculine.
I also feel like, Mary feels, I didn't think I would feel this way, but she sort of feels like the MVP of Salt Lake for me right now this year. Didn't think I'd feel that way.
Yeah,
I agree.
But so I always love her. I love her. I'm not saying that she wouldn't be an MVP, but I don't know what I was thinking would happen. But
you don't have to be nice here. by the way.
I know. I love it. I know. Can you tell? I'm like, oh my God, I don't want one of the girls DMing me being like, why'd you, what?
Well, that's true. Maybe you do. I mean, I'm talking to someone with an actual career. I'm like,
no, don't say that.
We'll just say all sorts of crap. Yeah.
The one thing though I have to tell you is like somebody who comes up in my thoughts daily when it comes to Bravoland. We're in a big moment in the Bravo universe because of the Beverly Hills reunion.
Mm.
But man, oh man, not a day goes by where I don't think about Kathy Hilton.
Not a day.
Not a single day goes by. I mean, seriously.
Bernadette version. If it's the Bernadette version.
Good choice. Seriously, you guys, how do you guys feel about Kathy? For me, she's the MVP of the year.
Yeah, she has been such a surprise. I thought she was going to be a dud. When they were saying Kathy Hilton was coming on, I thought she was going to like just be kind of unapproachable and uninteresting. And she has been the exact opposite. She has been phenomenal.
I can't wait for
her bitch flower to bloom in her second season. That is normally how long that takes. The second season, it blooms.
Do you remember Sonia? Remember Sonia in the first season?
Yes. Sonia's first season.
Put together. She didn't get drunk in front of anybody.
No, she was actually like so like above it all. She was just like very wealthy and elegant and glamorous. And I was like, ooh, I love this like super wasp who came onto the show. Yes. And then like the next season, she was like, ah!
Dorinda too. Dorinda first season was like kind of didn't get as drunk in front of people yet. That's always the thing. It's like
right. She started to show it a little in that dinner they went to with Heather when she's like, oh, you actually wait for me to come out of the bathroom. Oh, yes. Heather. And then it kind of went back in. I think she realized it and caught herself. But now, I mean, she's just loony. After her last season, Andy was like, oh, this is your year off, you know? So everyone thinks Dorinda's just going to go off, maybe go to rehab, come back all just chill. Mm-hmm. She's gone even crazier.
Yeah, she seems more fired up.
Yeah, she is. I mean, I hope that she comes back. I hope that the show takes like, I hope New York takes like a year off.
What do you guys feel about this last year of New York? I'm curious.
You know, I've been of the mindset that I think it was better than most people felt it was. Everyone thought it was like terrible, but I actually think if you go back, there was some really good stuff in there. But I did feel like it was uneven and they weren't really able to adapt to COVID very well. So they had a lot of these sort of group trips that didn't quite work. And it was a rocky season for sure, but a lot of people were like, cancel it. But I don't think it should be canceled.
No, don't can't. Are you kidding me? It's an institution. You can't cancel. Also, here's the thing where sometimes I think that Orange County has problems because Orange County is like a beautiful place and it's lovely. But like New York City is a character in that franchise.
She's one of the women. Hot take that is so correct. That is so correct.
Like, I think that has a part. That is part of why a city or a season works or doesn't work. You know, it's also sort of curious to me why we've never had a Chicago. Has anybody ever talked about
that's
that?
That's always rumored that's going to be coming out. But
Tinsley would have been a great person to start it off.
Build a franchise around Tinsley. Yeah.
And it would have been great to watch her get dumped. I mean, part of Tinsley's fun,
She would have had to have stayed in Chicago because she would have started this whole franchise, you know?
Oh my goodness. That would have, I mean... It's sort of funny. I mean, who would have ever thought that Salt Lake City was going to be the new franchise? You had a sense.
I knew it. I'm from Colorado. I'm from Denver. So we're real close to Salt Lake. And so I'm really like in tune with Mormon culture, which is fascinating to me, always has been, and very specific. It's such like a niche worldview and way of living. And also it makes the city really, really interesting and unique. And Park City is so different. And so downtown Salt Lake is really vibrant. It has like a really cool creative art scene. And there's a really, I think, lovely LGBTQ+ community there that are a lot of them former Mormons who have like come out and found a community of people there. I think there's something that would be an interesting thing for them to find story. And if they can find somebody who's kind of tapped into that world, but there might
be someone who's tapped into that world. In Salt Lake City.
you would hope because that's a great story to tell. Hello.
So you do not talk about toddlers.
We haven't had that conversation with him.
But anyway, so that city makes sense to me. When it first started, I was like, this is going to be good because there's all sorts of really weird religion stuff in Salt Lake. and it's multi-pronged. It's not just the Mormons, as we've seen. So they found the great, they found such a great array of women.
I wonder with Chicago, if it doesn't have like a stereotypical culture around it, because all of them kind of, all the cities sort of have something, right? Like New York was, in the beginning, New York was kind of like presenting like stereotypical Jewish New Yorkers, like Jill Zarin. New Jersey gave us Italians, you know. Atlanta, we have an African-American cast, you know. In Miami, it was Latina. So every area sort of has like a geographical stereotype that the shows kind of tap into. And I wonder if Chicago... like, I wonder if like gentle Midwesterners is just like not enough for the, for Bravo.
Chicago's not full of such gentle Midwesterners.
No, they're not gentle, but polite, no, I should have said.
You have a combination of like crazy, wild Irish Catholic people. And then you also have like, you know, women who attack like that. But that's sort of like the outskirts. But then you have some rich bitches up in there, really rich people.
Yeah.
What about Boston? Who, I feel like live in the Boston would be good for that, right? Like Boston, you have like some real, like, Boston people, some wealthy Boston people kind of getting into fights and stuff.
Yes, but they're fancy and snooty. Remember those seasons of, oh God, when they were trying to spin off Southern Charm? What was that other city that they did?
Oh, Savannah. Savannah was not.
Yeah, I guess you're always sort of worried that it will be one of those. No, did they ever do New Orleans?
New Orleans was great, actually.
New Orleans was interesting,
New Orleans, New Orleans and Savannah. And Savannah was like the guy who was, his dream was to make songs.
Yes.
And the girl who was lying about being a baggage handler, like she didn't know she was a baggage handler.
That's amazing. Commercials, here comes one right now. Why don't they just do like a, I would love a New Orleans housewife. That's interesting to me. That would be really, because New Orleans is, to me, like New Orleans, San Francisco are also two cities where like those are cities that are also a character in your show, you know? Yeah. Yeah, also, part of what made New York, I just have to share this with you in my Bravo. Sorry, I'm like, part of what was uneven for me that made me feel uncomfortable about the end of New York, and I feel like made everybody feel yucky about the end of New York, was that Ramona, that awful thing that she did at that dinner, which was just so beyond horrific from a social justice standpoint and like being a human right now in the world, and also like being a New Yorker. Like, what? You live in New York. It wasn't just with the housewives. It was like other people. I feel like this year there was a lot of like cuckoo directed at people outside of the cast. And that is like hard to watch. Do you know what I mean? It would be different if it was just a dinner with the girls, but it was like those other lovely people who couldn't fight back with her because they didn't want to look like shitheads. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Black Shabbat will live on in infamy for many years. I'm not going to lie, there were elements of Black Shabbat that I thought were actually kind of amazing to watch, because it was, you know, one of the reasons why I'm drawn to the shows is watching people just act horrifically. And you're like, I cannot believe people are acting like this. So I was kind of like cringing and like, oh my God. And I was like laughing at the craziness when Ramona's like, whoa, I wanted to be Jewish when I moved to New York, but I couldn't be. And you're like, oh my. And
they were mean to me. They were mean to me.
I would cry at night.
She's looking at this table of Black people going, I was discriminated. You're like, oh my God.
It's like on the one hand, just so amazingly offensive. And on the other hand, you're like, what am I watching? I can't believe this is someone who actually thought that she would say this and she would garner any sort of sympathy. It was amazing in both ways.
It's also just so Ramona and so why that show is good. I mean, the season had a lot of downer moments for sure, but that's going to be a classic episode in a couple of years when people can stop, you know, like being so pissed off about it. It's going to go down as one of the classics. They're going to be showing clips from that forever because, like, you're that right. Girl can't I just change. Wish she just cannot change. She doesn't want to, and she will not. And that's the world. I mean, there are people like that in the world. A lot of them.
Yeah, she cannot hear. She can't hear. You know, like when somebody, and I love, but there is something amazing, and it's why Dorinda obviously has not come back. There is something amazing that in true like housewife style, like I always say, like the real theme of housewives is that things will go well if you'll just say you're sorry.
Yeah.
You know, because when they say I'm sorry and let it go, they get to stay on the show. It's and one true. Thing about Ramona is that she always somehow says I'm sorry. She always does.
Yeah.
You know, it's not good and it doesn't make anything okay. But at least she'll like repent.
And Dorinda wasn't able to do that. Dorinda wasn't able to sort of have those moments where she realized like, oh, I was just being a drunk asshole in that moment. She like cannot do it at all.
She would she'd just double down and started screaming more. And yes. That was in her last reunion. Yeah.
I know. It was painful to watch. That part was, you were like, Dorinda, don't do it. We love you. Dorinda, oh.
She yelled at Luann.
I have to just repeat myself again because all of these seasons, like during that, I remember thinking, oh my God, Dorinda, that's it. She's got to go. This is too toxic. I can't watch. Even for me, this is too much. And then the next year, I was like, God, it would be nice if Dorinda was here. And then I just think of the good times. And I see clips from that reunion, like while I'm pulling stuff for Instagram posts or whatever. And I'll just sit there and watch that reunion over and like parts of it over. And she's being vile, but it's so funny and good. And when you don't have it anymore, it's like, oh.
I love too when she gets drunk out of nowhere. Like when they were at it, you'd be like, whoa, she took a left turn when nobody was like in the last minute, you know, and all of a sudden she's there, and you'd be like, when did she say?
Let me tell you something right now. Like, honestly, that season finale, when it was, they were just filming a stupid scene of Leah saying, oh, and also to Tinsley, who's in Chicago, saying, hey, you talk about Tinsley.
Do you know what I did? I went online and I found where that turban came from and I bought me one.
Yes.
Because that turban she had, right? That she had that like silver turban. I got a rainbow one. There's the really fact amazing
that
turban.
Was her color. Last scene is just beautiful.
Epic. I know. Mean,
just beautiful.
Who styled
it was that
her?
One. And when Vicky left OC, like her last scene on OC in that reunion.
Amazing.
Was, fuck up and shutting the door in the producer's face.
It was amazing.
Are you going to watch any of the Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trips that are coming out?
My husband literally yesterday was like, when does the girls trip come on? I got to make sure we DVR it. And we're excited for Winter House too.
Oh, I am so
excited. Doesn't it look good?
I have been personally, we have been early adopters of Summer House, and I have been an early proponent. I don't want to speak for Ronnie but like from season one,
me too.
I was like fully in Summer House.
And we it's were just too. Like
my favorite thing of all time. And the fact that we're going to get Winter House now, and it's going to be so basic and it'll be so perfectly wonderful.
It's so good. Yeah. We're really excited for Winter House and the girls trip.
We all are.
Winter House.
Oh, hey.
All members of the family. Very excited. I don't even know what we're talking. Winter House, right?
Yeah.
Is this your husband?
This is my husband, Joe.
Give me Shep. Give me Shep.
Is Shep on it?
Well, I know.
No, Shep didn't make it.
I have to work.
Okay.
wait, what's the soft boy who's really cool, who wanted to be a lawyer? What?
Craig.
Craig.
So, you're Craig. To say soft.
See that? You can say soft. It's okay.
We're on a podcast.
Live?
No, it's not live.
But you won't be edited out. That's okay. We've said way worse things about Craig than soft.
Oh my God, sure. It's so funny. He is a little, you know, he is a little warm and soft in the way that you're like, I don't know. He can't handle too much.
Well, no.
Would
you ever buy one of his pillows from Sewing Down South?
I have a heartbeat. I've actually thought about, that's what I should buy Joe for Christmas. Joe got me a Christmas present already. But I also want, like, is there a charity section, like, where I can be like, is this pillow, did 35% of the proceeds go to charity? Because I don't really want it going all to the charity of Craig's trust fund.
I was going to say that I feel like Craig will.
He's working. He learned to sew a square. He deserves his damn money.
I know. I like. I feel kind of the way that Naomi would feel about it. Like, I'm happy that you're doing well. Like, I'm glad you finally got it together. I do. I love Craig.
Here's how you need to think of it. Next time you're walking into the grocery store around Christmas time and there's a guy with the bell and a red bucket for Salvation Army, instead of giving him a dollar, you need to give him a sewing machine. Teach a man to sew.
Teach a man to sew.
Teach him how to sew.
That should be the title of Craig's book. That's his memoir. Teach a man to sew.
I would be very concerned if you go on. I don't know if Sewing Down South has any sort of charity affiliations, but I feel like if it did, I would like double check that charity, because I feel like it would be something like Craig, like, this is a charity because there are a lot of turtles in Charleston. They get run over by cars. So we're raising money for the turtles. You're like, I don't know if I want to support that charity, Craig.
Craig. Hey, is Craig with, I'm blanking on her name, but she does Paige. A lot of Instagram. Paige. I love Paige. Paige is funny. Yeah. Got a good sense of humor. Quick wit.
You may not remember my name, but you will remember this outfit. And I remember that it cost me 30% less than department store prices.
So good. Bing, bing, bing.
I just have to say, Craig's book is called Pillow Talk. What's wrong with my sewing?
Pillow Talk: What's so wrong good. With my sewing?
You guys, how do you feel about Paige and Craig? I mean, we're about to find see it, but
you know, so first of all, I think that Paige just finally publicly acknowledged their couplehood. I think today, or maybe it was yesterday. Yeah,
are you serious?
So now it's a fish.
Great.
I don't like it actually, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, I'm excited to hear.
I feel like I want Paige to be with. I feel like she should be with like a little bit more of a mover and a shaker. I feel like, you know, the guys on Southern Charm, you know, Craig is cute and everything, but the guys on Southern Charm are maybe not the best guys on Bravo.
No.
And I feel like Paige deserves better.
When they showed what they were doing on during COVID, oh my God, you know who is the worst? The one that's always trying to make beer.
Oh, what's Austin.
His name? Austin.
Oh yeah, he's truly the worst.
He keeps getting all these gorgeous women in your life.
How?
He talks to his tongue. He's always like, ah.
Also, what plastic surgery did the blonde one, Madison, what did she have done? I looked at her Everything. Instagram and I was like, yeah, what though?
I just saw her Instagram too, because she's doing her whole new storyline thing. Like, she found this perfect guy and she's like showing off her ring on Insta.
Did they get engaged?
She's just like, boom. Yeah.
Apparently, over the weekend. You know, so. That makes me happy for her.
They did
boy.
Officially, right? Because she just keeps posing like that on Instagram. Like,
she always looks good, but I'm like, what? Okay, what
she
happened?
She had a mommy makeover. What did she say on the reunion? She said,
like a titty lift.
I think
lift
everything. And... I think that she just had what I want, where you just lay on a table and they put clamps all over your skin, all down your back, your butt, and your legs, and then they just lift that shit up, staple it, send you on your
I
way.
Want that. I want them to do that to my knees. Sometimes at yoga, when I'm downward dog, I look at my knees and I go, does that mean that my growth hormone has stopped happening? That's like a sign that your knees are sagging. But I feel like her face looks different to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I it's hard to say. You know, so much happens in the off season. I have to say, I am happy for Madison because she she's not innocent in their whole drama, but I felt like she deserved better than Austin. And the fact that she got like a hot fiance and also
and
entangled herself. She's in danger, by the way, because she did entangle herself with A-Rod and J-Lo. And I feel like if you're going to mess with J-Lo, you got to know what you're doing. Okay. You got to be careful.
Watch out. I've done a movie with J-Lo.
Really?
Yeah.
Was she effervescent?
Her skin is so pretty up close that I was like, I looked at her makeup artist. I said, what is this about? And he's like, she drinks a lot of water. And have you seen her mama?
It's just J-Lo.
She drinks a lot of water. And have you seen her mama? So like great genetics and beautiful. And she drinks a lot of water and she works hard. And she's just like, it's not fair.
Yeah, that is not fair.
That's just not right. You work hard and you drink water. It's such bullshit. I'm not accepting that as an answer. How about that? It has to be more. Drinking water. I think it's baby spine or something. You've got some stem cells coming from somewhere. I mean, I don't know though. I think that J-Lo suffers her issues. I mean, she's back with Ben, you know, and as people talking about bad boyfriends, I mean, he looks like he smells. I think
he looks. I wouldn't mind that smell. It smells good to me.
Really, Ben looks in all the paparazzi photos. He's just like every time they show him, it's J-Lo. Like, I'm J-Lo. I'm Jenny from the Block, and she's looking gorgeous. There's like a wind machine on her hair, and then it's just Ben next to her, like.
But he could dress up nicely, you know, and he has. The back tattoo is a real issue for me. I struggle with Ben's back tattoo. You know about the back tattoo, Anna Lee?
No,
are you Anna Lee or do you ever go by Anna? I don't know if I'm being overly
formal. Some of my friends from college call me Anna and my family calls me Annie. So you can call me whatever you want.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was a thing like someone was constantly calling me Benjamin. So I was like, I wanted to like hit the right tonal.
No, you're perfect. My name is so extra. It's a lot.
Well, have you seen Ben Affleck's back tattoo?
No, I'm Googling it right now.
Okay. Oh, this is going to be exciting that you get to see it live on a podcast.
Do we know when it happened? It's the fourth thing that pops up. Oh my God. Does he like Game of Thrones? What's happening? What is
it? It looks like the Firefox logo.
Do we know what it means?
It's the first thing that shows up in Google, like the first Google choice.
It also looks like the phoenix in Harry Potter.
I think it's supposed to be, there it is. For me, yes, number 4 or 5 as well. Oh, God, it's always worse than you remember when you go and see it.
Do we know why?
I think middle age.
What it means? Do we know what it means?
No.
There's some things I don't think we're meant to know.
Phoenix rising from the ashes was not, contrary to previous statements, fake for a movie. First glimpsed in 2015, the winding tale of the tattoo includes an almost 2 years secrecy and a shady dig from ex-Jennifer Garner, who said of the apparent midlife crisis mural just after the split, "You know what we would say in my hometown about that. Bless his heart. A phoenix rising from the ashes. Am I the ashes in this scenario? I take umbrage. I refuse to be." I love that Jennifer Garner takes umbrage. Also, I believe that she said that.
The response of people in my town would say bless his heart is the funniest thing I've ever heard. Amazing.
That is some good. That's some high level shade. I imagine Jennifer Garner and Ina Garten sitting together in the Hamptons, just like looking at the pictures and be like, can you believe this?
I know. I feel like sometimes Jennifer Garner says things and she also posts things that I'm like, I think we'd be friends. Do you hear that, Jen? You're out there. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to mention, she's a huge, huge fan of our podcast.
She loves The Housewives, doesn't she?
Could you imagine if she listened? That'd be so crazy.
I'll try to slide into her DMs, you guys.
Oh my God. Use your power for good.
Oh my God. It's so funny.
That'd be so exciting if Jennifer Garner listened.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So let's ask you some stuff about your projects. I want to know about American Story Impeachment.
Okay.
Tell me what it's like. I mean, I guess, what is it like to play Paula Jones? Did you learn something different playing Paula Jones than we kind of saw in the media? Because in the media, she's been pretty heavily vilified. Well, she was pretty heavily vilified at the time.
Absolutely. She was vilified at the time back then. And then in the last 6 years, she's been really used. Well, she always was used by the right wing media as sort of a prop. And she continued to be. We all are all so, familiar with her recently from the last election cycle, the Trump Hillary. Debate that he brought. Yeah. So that's what we think of her from that. But when I read the first script and when I started doing research, it shocked me how much her husband pushed her. Like, you know, her main goal was really just to please her husband when she first came out to kind of tell the world about it. That was really her motive all along, which is really heartbreaking. She was just doing it for a man. And clearly something happened that was uncomfortable in that room, but I don't know if she would have even ever told anybody or said anything except for a couple close girlfriends if he hadn't pushed her. And it really turned her life upside down. And so much to the point that she changed her face and changed her name. You know, it's like, I think people watching the show will have a lot more empathy for Paula Jones than they ever imagined they would.
Do you know if she's watched it or has any sort of feedback?
Yeah, she came out and said that she thought that we portrayed her kind of cartoonishy and that things didn't happen the way that she thought that they did. And really, most of all, that she was like kind of bummed that she wasn't asked to be a part of it. But in true American Crime Story history, we had so much material, source material and research that we don't talk to the real people. It's sort of the only person that's been the exception to that has been Monica Lewinsky for this season. And for reasons that are really obvious, that was important. And she's a producer on it. But when she said, I just wanted to call her and be like, Paula, people are empathizing with you and they are seeing your side of a story in a way they never would have. So hopefully she can see that at some point, you know, but
hopefully. Yeah. And then for Be Positive. So you're like the star of Be Positive, right? And have you, you're like the star. No, but the reason why I'm bringing that up is because your background is theater. Right.
Yeah.
Obviously, because you want a Tony. Have you found that your theater background has been helpful in the sitcom world?
Oh my gosh, totally. It's like sort of the in-between land of TV, film, and theater, doing a sitcom. So we haven't gotten to have an audience this whole last year, which has been sort of a bummer because of COVID. But our crew surely makes up for it, and they laugh at the things they're supposed to things that we don't expect. And then sometimes that's how we find out things aren't funny. But it's been, you know, my whole life, I've, you know, loved shows like The Golden Girls and Cheers. I've seen every single episode of both of those shows and many other magical sitcoms that we all love, but those two especially. And, you know, some days I'm living my Bea Arthur dreams.
Yeah. Do you think you'll go back to or do more theater work?
Yeah, I hope so. I'm just praying that the theater can just continue to, you know, build itself back up. And I think people are really unaware that that is an industry that has been completely, completely decimated in a way that is really, really heart-wrenching. So I'm just grateful that, like, a lot of people in my life have a job again after not having one for 18 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. It's coming back, baby.
Bro, yeah, it's Patty, coming back.
Patty the Musical. I don't know if you heard.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. I'll be there on opening night.
2028.
So funny. It's
working on the set year, design, baby. You know.
It's amazing.
Well, thanks so much for coming to talk to us about all this stuff. You know where we are. God. If you ever want to come talk about more Brava stuff, we're here.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm so excited for the next three parts of the Beverly Hills reunion. And how about you?
Oh, my God.
Erica
it's
Jane.
Been so good.
What a saga.
It's so good. Wait, real quickly, what are your thoughts? Where do you stand on the Erica Jane situation?
Me and my husband fight about this like a couple times a week, but I think he thinks that she knew that. And I said, honestly, my gut tells me that the way that he talks to her, there are certain times throughout the years where the way that he talks to her and the way that she shuts down in a way that we never see her shut down with anybody else. Those are the moments that I have empathy for her and think that maybe I don't think she could have possibly known to the extent that he was taking money from people. And I actually don't know if she really knew. Because I don't, but I can't believe that I'm being that favorable about it because I think that her behavior since finding all this out, she needs to like, I don't know who is. So I know you're like, who is telling you it's a good idea to post some of the stuff you post? Like, yeah. Just have a little heart for these people who've lost everything and don't have skin because they were burned so badly. Like, girl. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think that the public relations game is she's not doing a great job with.
I agree. Least. But I don't know if I don't think she did it. So how about that?
I look at it as kind of, you know, the way you're talking about how he talked to her and she kind of shuts down. I look at it as kind of like a Broadway producer of her own, you know, that she's married to some 80-year-old dude chomping on a cigar like, all right, kid, let's get it going. Get in your places. You're going to get... You know, so I kind of like look at it like that, where she, because she called him boss. Remember the whole time on the show, she's like, he's in my phone as the boss. That's what Tom says. Go, he's the boss. Yeah, because he's, you know, paying all this money for all those shows and this career and all that stuff. So I don't know. It's like just a grumpy old man. I don't know, but it sure is fun to watch.
Yes, yeah,
it has been riveting television. All right. Well, Annalee Ashford, be sure to watch her in Be Positive on CBS and also an American Crime Story Impeachment on FX, correct?
And Hulu.
And Hulu, of course. So go check her out there. And thank you so much for coming on. And of course, everyone follow on social media as well. So
yeah, Annalee Ashford. It's just Annalee at Annalee Ashford, A-N-N-A-L-E-I-G-H Ashford. I do lots of weird things with wigs and recipes.
Yes, you did something with like chocolate and peanut butter today that really, really hit my pleasure zone.
Check it out, Magic Spoon, this amazing cereal that's like, oh, I've been eating it forever. And they were like, do you eat our cereal? We like you. And I was like, I love you. I eat all your cereal all the time.
That is the life right there. Right. Thank you so much for coming on. And thank you everyone for listening. And we will catch you all on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin,
Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters. There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie. Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler. We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan. And Cap Sewell, Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.